On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Got any idea what song this is?
Can't even tell you if this is going to be country or like sad rock or blues or Motown.
I'm impressed you know that blues is a thing.
Yeah. The thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away. I like the lyrics I'm hearing. Those apply well, but no guess.
You've never heard this song?
No.
You've never heard The Thrill Is Gone?
Never. The thrill is gone away. Is this...
It's called The Thrill Is Gone.
Okay. It had a little Johnny Cash at the beginning. I don't know who this is, though.
It's B.B. King. You ever heard of him?
No. Heard of Billie Jean King?
No. All right. Let's move on. The song played because The Thrill Is Gone. Week one was wild. It was epic. It was really, really, really fun. And week two was not. My name is JP Finley. What up, everybody? This is the Washington Football Talk Podcast, and a little more subdued this week than we were last week. Pete Haley, Mitch Tischler are here. Pete has never heard of The Thrill Is Gone by B.B. King. That should not be a surprise.
More surprised he hasn't heard of B.B. King, but let's move on.
Tough, tough loss in the desert for our boys. I don't want to do that. That's kind of exactly what I thought was going to happen. I was very worried about this offense. I remain very worried about this offense. I thought defensively that was a tough matchup. Credit to the Cardinals. Kyler Murray's really good. Their defense was eh. And Washington turned the ball over. And they cannot do that. They made mistakes. They cannot do that. This team is not that good to make mistakes on the road and win games. They're just not. There's lots to discuss, lots to pick at, lots to question. But as always, we want to thank the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, want you to do the same thing. Check them out, oarsmanva.com. They got everything under the sun, new cars, used cars, lease cars, all of it. A bad game, and I don't think any one person is to blame. I kind of think last week, because that win was so wild and exciting, that for some people, like maybe you two, expectations got a little too high and too...
I didn't change my expectations after last week. I said 7-9 at our preview pod, and I stuck at 7-9 last week. But I thought they had a chance to win here in Arizona. And honestly, for them to have a chance against teams like the Cardinals, the defense has to play close to perfect. And that's a ton of pressure and impossible to do week in, week out. And they didn't do it, and you saw Kyler Murray break contain and get to the outside and make some throws. You saw busted coverages, some of the things we saw last year that were a huge problem.
I mean, that goal line situation
was
awful. How does DeAndre Hopkins get wide open? Wide open.
Yeah. It was a bad showing in the desert.
A season-opening win is a hell of a drug because when they win in the opener, you say, oh, the offense looked kind of bad, but you know, that defense was amazing. And ooh, that slow start, kind of worrisome. But how about that comeback and the resilience? But when they lose, obviously, the problems that were covered by the happiness really, really show themselves. And the offense, we know what they need to do. It's a question of can they do it. The defense held in there as long as they could, but just were too tired near the end. They couldn't deal with Kyler Murray enough.
Did they hold in there? It was 14-0 in the first quarter.
I mean,
so there was a point in the third quarter where
it was 14-0. There was a point in the third quarter where it's still 20-0. You're like, oh, all right.
That's exactly.
But in the first quarter, it's 14-0.
One of them was.
You talked about fast starts.
Yeah, I know. Just to defend the defense for a second, Cardinals got their first possession from the 48, and then the other touchdown came after a Steven Sims fumble. So the short fields didn't help. But yeah, just the overall takeaways,
for sure,
all of the issues we kind of glossed over because they're 1-0, and it's exciting. It's a new era. They're growing, and the strengths that were there in week one weren't as strong, and it adds up to just a way different attitude for everybody looking ahead.
I'm going to say this while we're live. Go ahead and set up a backup because that thing's making noises. Let's not lose a whole podcast. Pete and I almost did that in the car the other day without you, Mitch.
Yes.
I don't know that anybody did well early. It was 14-0 in the first quarter. And, like,
it was a great pick by Landon.
Sure.
Like, if you're going to say just early, like, just early, he had cement in his shoes when DeAndre Hopkins ran wide open behind him, but he did make a good break on the ball and did have a nice pick. And for a second, you thought there was a possibility that they were going to turn around. They had the short field. That was what worked last week for the offense, short field, move the ball, you know, increments and get the touchdown on the short field. And then immediately they turn the ball over again when the pocket is just absolutely
and
collapsed.
Dude, I am not – we're going to talk about Dwayne here in a minute. Dwayne on that sack, Dwayne didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, you're getting your teeth kicked in and you get the ball swatted away.
Was there talk that Dwayne –
there's always talk, dude. I mean, who knows? But, like – the fumble's not his fault.
Could he have secured the ball maybe better? But, like, that's really nitpicky, right, considering that there were four defensive linemen around him.
He's very hard on himself, so he'll usually find a way to put blame on himself. But post-game, somebody asked him, any thought on that fumble of what you could have done better? And he was like, honestly, no. I don't think there was anything I could have done, and I agree with him.
I'll tell you what, early, I don't know if it was line scheme or play protection calls or whatever it may have been. But they had to look at that Cardinals defensive line and point out Chandler Jones and figure out how to block him. Because he's the one guy on that front four that you're worried about that can change the game and can beat you. And multiple times, there were times that he was blocked one-on-one. There was a play that it was Brandon Scherff was still in, and he had him he had Chandler Jones one-on-one. Chase Roullier looked to his left instead of helping out Brandon Scherff on the right. He ended up in one-on-one situations too often for being the one guy who could really hurt you on that defensive line.
Well, maybe they deserve some credit for moving morale.
Certainly, yes. But, I mean, that belayed the rest of the issues on the offensive line.
Is that a word?
Belay is a word. I don't know if you can past tense it.
Is belay a word?
Yeah. What's it mean, Mitch? How do you spell it?
It undercuts. B-E-L-A-Y. Somebody called me out on an idiom.
This is
earlier.
JP, I got the
belay is
here.
A word.
It's a word.
Okay, but the definition is fix.
Yeah.
Fix a running rope around a cleat, rock, pin, or other object.
Yeah, dude, when you're rock climbing, you yell belay on, belay off. Whatever you're trying to say.
Belied?
Belied.
Yes, it belied the issues.
Yes, that's what I said. Belayed, and then I said belied. Yeah, whatever. It's close enough.
The days of letting Mitch just say things without questioning are done on this podcast.
Gosh, you guys are so mean to each other. Be nicer.
The line was terrible.
Let's do this. Let's do a blame pie for the whole game, I think. And I'll include special teams because they weren't great. Tress was good, but Sims was not good on punt returns or kick returns. Where's your blame pie,
Pete? Is it for the three units?
Three units. Overall, not first quarter, fourth quarter, any of that. They lost 30-15 to the Cardinals.
All right. My recipe for this blame pie is 60 on the offense, 25 on the defense, 15 on specials. Maybe that's way too heavy on the offense. Maybe that's way too low on defense. But
it's too heavy on specials.
The Steven Sims,
you can't have a fumble on a punt return.
Steven Sims fumble. Yes, Tress was
for this
phenomenal,
team, you can't have it.
Yeah.
Cannot
special teams
have
needs
it
to be downright perfect for them to hang in, and it wasn't, and it really caused them to slide. I just think sure, the defense let Kyler go crazy, and the DeAndre Hopkins blown coverage was unforgivable, but the offense, especially the O-line and the lack of receivers outside McLaurin, just glaring more and more every second they play. 65 and whatever I said for the other two. 60-25-15. There you go.
Offense, I'm given 55. Defense, I'm given 40. Specials, I'm given 5. I think that, yes, the Sims fumble was bad, but the rest of it was awful. The offense and offensive line were atrocious.
I think you guys are giving the defense too much credit. Like, when Arizona wanted to move the ball, they did. How many? They were 3 for 3 on fourth downs.
How about the first fourth down they went for?
Just utter disregard.
Yeah, and it's funny because as they were going for it, I was thinking in my head, you know, last week Doug Peterson did that at midfield. What a mistake it was. That was a huge turnaround point in the game. Maybe they'll get a stop here, and it wasn't really even close. I mean, the play may have only gone for 3 or 4 yards, but it wasn't close to getting stopped.
55-40
defense, five. Offense, specials.
55 offense,
yeah.
40 defense, 5 specials.
Isn't that what I just said?
No, I think you were 60 offense. No. Whatever.
Yeah, I think you and I are the same.
But the specials, you can't turn the ball over, period. Period, period. And Greg Stroman was out there later to return punts. I don't know. Steve Sims
got hurt for a little bit.
A little bit, but he was out there later, so I don't know. Bad game. Offensive line was bad. Offense was bad, especially when the game was a contest, the offense was bad. Now, they kind of made things interesting later, like they've started to do, but what the hell? Start like that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why is Haskins better in the second half? He had a really – I'll give Dwayne credit, man. He is honest and, like, football honest. A lot of quarterbacks just kind of blow questions off, but he was saying – I don't remember because I was doing the show, but – did he say we expected to see cover 3, cover 4, and then they came out in cover 2?
Yeah.
And it was just like a big adjustment.
I don't know what the specifics were, but whatever he was preparing for was not exactly what he saw.
That happened last week when the Eagles on the other side of the ball.
And maybe some of that is no preseason, and you know, you're seeing these teams for the first time. I don't know.
I don't know. We gave
him making some throws in the second half is nice to see. The 3rd-and-1 throw to Steven Sims was a good throw. He found Terry in one-on-one coverage, and as needs to be every single time that they're in a pass play. If Terry's in one-on-one coverage, he needs to see the football because he's just that freaking good. But at the same time, I think you could see that Arizona got a lot less exotic in the second half when they were rocking a 20-point lead and they were allowing some of that stuff to be caught. The quick slant to Terry, you know, went for the touchdown, but you're allowing a 3 or 4 yard slant to go there because you just want to keep that clock moving. But
I made a note of this. About a minute before halftime, second quarter, Larry Fitzgerald, who is widely one of the most respected players.
Is this the against the linebacker?
No, this isn't a play at all. Larry Fitzgerald's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Does everything the right way. They showed him on the sideline, and I don't know the specific situation. We weren't there, obviously. But I'm watching the feed, and he's like smoking and joking with a minute left in the first half. They're up, at that point, maybe 17-0 or 20-0. I think they had made the kick. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, they got this thing. They are not worried. And for every joke about the 17-0, we got them right where we want them, like, it felt entirely different.
I don't know that week one felt like it was a comeback situation necessarily.
Well, when they got it to 17-7, it did.
Oh, yeah, that's before the half.
I'm saying at 17-0, it didn't.
And, but for Larry Fitzgerald to be like kind of
serious and
invested.
Well, it was the 2nd, 4th, and 1 play that they had. They got Larry Fitzgerald in the slot, and he got lined up one-on-one with John Bostic.
Yeah.
Which, like, Cliff Kingsbury is supposed to be this offensive, you know, mastermind or whatever, you know, the same ilk of, you know, Sean McVay and others or whatever. The fact that they were able to get Larry Fitzgerald matched up one-on-one with John Bostic is a 99.8 times out of 100, they're getting that first down on that play. And it obviously wasn't even close.
How worried should we be about Dwayne specifically? Mm-hmm. And I know it's not necessarily fair to say specifically because, JP, you had that conversation with someone who said it's really hard to evaluate him right now. Yeah. But let's just focus on Dwayne himself. Dwayne himself.
You know what I'll say? He's not turning the ball over via bad mistakes. Today's turnover was because the pocket collapsed. It's hard because the offensive line is so bad, and I think Dontrell Inman was not good today either. Like, I think particularly not good.
He was Dontrell Inman.
I think he was, but like, you need him to be better. You need a number two receiver. You talked about needing a second pass catcher to step up, and that's not there. It's hard to grade Dwayne, but we're going to have to because this season is
– They're grading him.
They're grading him. And whether this season's going to decide whether he's
– Should or shouldn't. That's what's happening.
Right. We had Kimberly Martin on like months ago, and she said it's not going to be fair to grade Dwayne this year with this roster, but they're going to do it anyway, and fair or not,
right. We
pro
need
football,
to, yeah.
Not fair.
And I think that's –
He hasn't been impressive.
Yeah.
Is it his fault? That conversation's a mile long. I don't think it is. I said this on air. I say this all the time. They don't have – it's not even fair to say they don't have enough on offense. They have nothing on offense. They have Terry. That's the list. Think about who on that offense starts elsewhere. Starts. Not as a Pro Bowler, not as anything. Who else starts on another team? Now, maybe the Eagles are so banged up now that they would start Morgan Moses or something. Like, you can make a – Terry starts everywhere he goes. Maybe not Dallas because they're loaded at wideout, but like I think Terry starts
well
everywhere he goes.
I think Brandon Sheriff starts most places.
I think most places, but he hasn't had a – he's hurt now. We don't know the severity of the injury.
He also hasn't – he wasn't great last year when he was healthy, and then he got hurt. And it's not like he went out and was being a Pro Bowl guard in the first two games that we've seen him this year and then got hurt again. So I agree with you that you take it back a step, but I think based on his
– That's fine. So – I'll give you a half.
Yeah,
and it's
I'll
also
take a half.
The other. It's the one, and then the half is your right guard. There's no one else. There's no other receivers. No other tight ends.
I don't know
no
what
other
receivers
backs.
Are
we being
on any
unfair
other
to anyone? Let's try to like look at this.
There's
all the
a
way
reason
around.
Why the skill groups were ranked as the worst in the NFL by almost every pundit who had a list this offseason. There's just no.
Would maybe Antonio Gibson get a half?
No.
No.
Not right now.
Not yet.
Love the
I
kid.
Wonder if Adrian Peterson might have.
Yeah.
What'd he do today for the Lions?
I'll check.
I know he was really impressive last week.
He had a 30-yard run. I don't know what he ended up with for the game, but he had a nice 30-yard run.
7 for 41.
About what McKissick did. So
I'll tell you what. It's a good thing that Peyton Barber got that 4th-and-1 run because that felt like a direct possibility fell short of it for everybody to blow up and be like, this is why we needed to pound the table and keep Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I mean, at that point.
Right.
I think they just don't have any talent offensively. And I think it's just a ugly truth. But here's the effed up part with the madness that is pro football, is that we knew all this. We knew this in July.
We talked
we
about
knew
this in
August. Like,
we talked about this all along.
Ron Rivera knew it when he tried to give all of the dollars to Amari Cooper.
Ron Rivera knew it. Last Wednesday when he said, yeah, this offense isn't there and it might not be there till next year.
2021.
Right. Like the coach said that sitting at 1-0.
Yeah. Definitely going to write a story.
4 or 5 days ago.
Yeah.
5 days ago.
They were working out players. Yeah.
They know they don't have enough. We know they don't have enough. We know that they know they don't have enough.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
Bo
it's not
knows,
a secret.
Everybody knows.
So to circle all the way back to Dwayne, he's not good enough right now.
Because you need him to be Superman to have the offense win football games.
No, last week he didn't have to be Superman, and he wasn't
because the defense was
right. But there are quarterbacks that do that.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yes,
and at some point,
Washington needs one of those.
Well, and it can't be this mutually exclusive. Like everybody's bad, they're rebuilding. Don't judge anybody, but don't judge the quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, there's like, Dwayne is not the problem. Period. He's not the problem. There's a million problems, but he's part of the problem. They're not getting it done offensively.
Certainly.
All that being said, these are the kinds of struggles I want them to let him try and work through.
Sure.
I want him to be able to work through this for another 8 games, 10 games. Sure, at some point, if there's no progress, you move on, but they shouldn't even be thinking about that yet. Keep seeing what he has. But you're right. He's not the problem, but he's also not part of the solution. And the best quarterbacks, when there are a lot of problems, they become the solution.
And I don't.
The best quarterbacks make bad teams good.
Yeah.
Yes.
And maybe that's a Canton level that's never going to happen, but Matt Stafford.
How many quarterbacks in the NFL step into Washington, into the situation that Washington's in, and make them good? You can count them on one hand.
A little wrestling match going on in
Seattle. Russ Wilson is one.
It's the top guys, but
yeah, but this season is a referendum on Dwayne, because as a football team, you need to know whether he's the guy that you can play with going forward. And after each game, we're going to have to go through this, doing the, you know, is Dwayne improving? Is this good enough? Is it, you know, and right now, and through two games, it's not. And it's not all, like you said, it's not all his fault. But at the same time, if this season's going to be a referendum on him, then
we're referendum-ing on
him.
He's referendum-ing.
He's, what, an eighth of the way through.
I don't know.
Got to be better to know. To, it's got to get better to keep him, to think that you can keep him next year as your QB1.
Especially because if there's more games like there were today, you're going to have a high draft pick.
Yeah.
And who knows what's happening in New England, but Cam could be available. He's on a one-year deal. And we know how Ron and Cam feel about one another.
The NFL is such a mind F, because you just made that very valid point. Last week, we were sitting in FedEx Field parking lot singing, "Doctor, Doctor, give me the news." Every position was great. Now here we are.
Now you've learned about the Blues.
If he's porch, yeah.
We also weren't saying that everything was all fine and dandy last week.
I know.
It certainly covered up a lot of the – and that's what winning does.
Bullish Mitch doesn't want to own the roller coaster,
yeah,
which is odd. Like
I'm keeping it medium.
All right.
Okay.
Throw me a Z-shade. I'm keeping it medium.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
I think we got to talk about Ron. Ron's been throwing a no-hitter since he got here. Like, there really hasn't been a misstep, I don't think. Yeah, you could argue about signing enough people or building, but he's clearly building it for the long haul. And hell, we saw today, he's coaching for the long haul.
Yeah.
There's two things I think that need to be asked about. And I'm going to start with, to me, the timeouts at the end of the game. I don't mind that, because he had already shown you what he was going to do with the field goal. And the field goal is what I have issue with.
I think all three of us have an issue with that, because Pete and I were talking about the timeouts when you were inside a minute ago. But settling for a field goal there is...
Run the ball on third down, because you know you're going to run it again on fourth down.
It's window dressing.
You're down three scores. Right. Play to win the game in the middle of the third quarter. Late in the fourth quarter, you're down two touchdowns.
Get out of there with no more injury.
I get that. I don't know that I support it, but I understand it.
It's tough because Washington fans are looking at what happened in Atlanta or with Dallas earlier today, where they didn't give up and they came back from three.
Now they have an explosive offense. It's a different circumstance.
Sure.
I don't agree at all with the field goal. I do not agree whatsoever.
The situation.
But he's coaching big picture. And I don't know that you can do that in the middle of a game.
But also,
you play to win the game.
If you end up losing that game 27-0 because they go for it on fourth down and don't get it, it feels worse than this does.
I hate that.
That's 27 fine.
Dwayne Haskins and them aren't going on the plane at 27-3, back padding like, hey, we're on to something, versus 27-0. Oh, we're so – like, the field goal makes no difference.
Not to mention if they had gotten –
You can't shut out in the NFL today.
Yes, you can.
It doesn't matter.
Who cares?
A three-point effort versus shutout.
Not to mention if they had the touchdown when they cut it to 27-15, it would have been 27-19 in a one-score game.
I agree with you that they should have gone for the touchdown. I'm just saying that's what Ron – I won unequivocally, let me say, that I hated the field goal kick. It's fourth and short. Just like throw it on your guys to make the damn play. You did it last week in Philly. Do it again. And I don't care that you're down. Kicking that field goal there was waving a white flag and was poor window dressing.
His quote, when asked, it was 20-0 in the third, they're at the 6, 3 minutes left in the third quarter. Why didn't you go for it? I was considering it, but based on certain circumstances, I wanted to put points up. I wanted to give our guys something to have a little enthusiasm about. That's why I elected to take the points. At this point, we are shut out, and that's the one thing I don't want these guys to have to feel, that they are shut out. I get it. It's all long-term in his mind, and I'll give Ron credit that he at least had justification for the decision.
He owns it, because he owned the no timeouts later,
because
too.
Past coaches, if we asked them that, or if they did that, it would feel like, oh, they're just kind of flipping a coin. They have no real reason. Ron has a reason. I think it's a bad reason. I don't care if you want to give them a little enthusiasm. Try and win. But he wants to give them something to be happy about. And I guess he's Ron and I'm a blogger. All those caveats. I just think it was a stupid, weird, soft call. Especially after being so, I want to give our offense, show them that I believe in them a week before. It seems like you kind of undid all the progress you made with them.
I think you're going a little too far. I don't think it was stupid or weird. It was a calculated thought decision that I very much disagree with. But I don't think it was stupid or weird. And I don't think it undoes the progress from the week before. I think that still mattered. But you didn't give your guys a chance. So, let's be specific here, too. It's 3rd and 6. So, they had the Morgan Moses penalty, the holding call, which is a killer.
Killer.
So, it went from 2nd and 3 at the 3 to 2nd and 13 at the 13. McKissick, they threw the ball there, right? On 2nd down and 13, Logan Thomas picks up 6. So McKissick is cooking at that point. Like, he is moving the ball down the field. You have 3rd and goal from the 6. To me, in that situation, you get the ball to McKissick, and you know you're going to do it twice. That's what I'd do there. They didn't, obviously. They threw it again to Logan Thomas. Dwayne kind of zipped the ball a little too much. I hated the call. I understand it. I understand what he was trying to do. B. Mitch and I got into quite a heated discussion about it, because Brian's point is that we can't expect this team to be 3 years from now right away. And I understand that. But in the game, you have to be playing to win the game. And in that moment, I mean,
listen, I've said I agree that I
there was
should have gone
4 minutes left in the third quarter.
But do we
20 minutes of football left?
Do we agree that we think Ron has a pulse of the team?
Yeah.
And if he thinks that that field goal makes a difference for team morale moving forward, you have to give the coach that respect that he knows what he's doing. He understands what it means to the guys. We can hate it as what we're doing. We can hate it because we want them to try and win the damn game and cut it to 2 scores and score a touchdown there.
I'm not respecting, I mean, it's his call. I just disagree with it.
I agree. I think we all disagree with it. I'm saying I understand it from his perspective. I understand it from a team's perspective if the head coach, who I think has we've agreed that he's made all the right calls so far, he's pressed all the right buttons along the way from the offseason through now. Let's give him a little bit of leeway, and maybe he's pressing a right button here. Maybe he's not, but maybe he is, and he understands where the morale of the team stands.
We talked to Dwayne Haskins and Terry McLaurin in postgame. And who else did a Zoom?
Kevin Pierre-Lewis.
So I wasn't on for that one. But in talking to Terry McLaurin and Dwayne Haskins, their morale seemed pretty damn low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, if it's 27-0 and they get skunked and they have to fly home skunked, maybe it feels a little different, but I don't think...
Maybe we're not talking to Terry if it's 27.
I don't think the 3 there made any difference on the 2, however you want to view those touchdowns that came later.
Well, we could go a million more routes, but also, if he really wanted to worry about the shutout, like, you were going to get more possessions after that. You were going to get the ball 2 or 3 more times. You didn't have to score right then and there with 2 seconds left. So the shutout thing still doesn't make sense. And yes, Ron has a pulse, and yes, in a month maybe the offense will be rolling, and they'll say that second half in Arizona when we got that field goal, it really pumped us up. But you were down 3 scores before the kick, and you were down 3 scores after the kick.
Yes.
You made no difference in trying to win Sunday's game. Maybe it works long term. Short term, it looked
I don't think it's like 6 weeks from now we're going to look at this field goal and be like, man, that was a turning point. It's more...
We looked at it last week when they went for it on 4th down,
right,
as a turning point.
And maybe that was giving too much credit to that moment. Or maybe it wasn't because it was a turning point. But the offensive line was getting their asses kicked. The offense was getting their asses kicked.
Nobody on that drive. That was the first time they really moved the ball well.
McKissick was moving the ball well. I agree. But as a whole, they were getting their asses kicked. The last thing you needed was for them to have it shoved on a fourth and short right back in their face.
They're NFL players.
They were on the 6-yard line.
They're also adults. They can handle a fourth down.
They were on the 6.
Non-conversion.
Like, if the game ebbs and flows, at that point, it was flowing for them.
Attack success.
I hated the call. Hated it. I'm not saying it's stupid. I'm not saying it's weird. Yeah. Obviously, they had their own logic. I just disagree with it.
Ron is not stupid. He's very smart. He makes a lot of awesome decisions. That one was probably the least favorite decision he's made in my book since he's gotten here.
I disagree with the decision. I trust Ron, so I give him the leeway to make what we think of as maybe a bad decision. Maybe that's where I stand. That's where I stand at it.
That is the lukewarmiest, like, feet in both pools take. I don't like it, but I like it so much.
I don't like it at all. It was a bad decision. If it was me as the head coach, which it's not, but if it was me as the head coach, I would have gone for it. However, we have to trust that Ron has been pressing the right buttons, and maybe that was the right button to press at a level that we don't understand.
Okay. Kendall Fuller misses another game. Did Thomas Davis play?
I don't believe so.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe on some snap I didn't see. But
like, I know he was on the active roster, but I don't think he played.
I know Ron doesn't like talking about injuries, but at some point we need some more information on Kendall Fuller because I know that he got into a practice at the end of last week.
He was full
on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Full on Thursday. We're now, on Friday.
What are we, four weeks from the time of the first injury? And
it was like mid-camp.
I mean, that's no longer a pulled hammy that's going to be back in a few weeks. I mean, it's an issue. I mean,
the sheriff thing looks like it could be a problem. We'll wait and get more info on that. I just wanted to run through that. I want to thank Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Want you to do the same thing. This Thursday, September 24th, 3 o'clock, Oarsman Chevy Buick GMC in Alexandria. You show up, ask a question, get on the podcast. It's that simple.
We'll take another album cover picture.
Yeah, we'll take another picture for the Instagram. I don't know if we're allowed to get pizza, but if we can, we might get pizza for the group.
Sure.
And then at 6 p.m., we're going to Tapped at MGM, where we will do our over-unders and our 100 Chips segment, which is sponsored by MGM National Harbor. We love those guys. You should check them out. Tapped's a lot of fun. We'll be outside, socially distanced, appropriately covered up, much like we are here on my back porch. Quickly, because I want to do game balls and everything, but how weird was it not to be at the game? I hated it.
The most bizarre thing in the world.
Yeah, it sucked.
I mean,
it sucked.
13 seasons, I've missed 4 games, I believe, or something like that. And not being at the game, it was strange.
Yeah, no good. Anyway, I got one game ball. That's it. That's the effing list. And if you got another one, you're really going to have to sell me on it because I might call veto power on game balls.
You might fight us in 7-Eleven live.
Terry?
Terry.
Yeah,
Terry's the only one. Terry. Anybody else?
I'm good with that.
If you have something, I'm open to it.
I'm throwing a hat tip to Antonio Gibson for his first career touchdown, and
that's fine. That's a hat tip. You know what? He gets a hat tip. He
kind of good between the tackles.
I mean,
McKissick
gets a hat tip for how much
I'm okay with that.
I
said game ball. I had one ball.
Yeah,
but I can tip some caps to those two particularly.
I think those might.
I still don't know why McKissick. They're not throwing the ball to him.
Yeah.
Or the running backs in general. I mean,
totally.
Gibson one catch.
Or is Dwayne not looking? We're going to have to ask Scott Turner this week. Like, is Dwayne not looking? Are they not running those situations?
Yeah.
Are those guys not running the routes correctly? Because J.D. McKissick knows how to run routes out of the backfield.
I'll tell you what, if Kyle Allen was at quarterback, I got to believe that those guys would be getting
catches.
He doesn't
go downfield, dude.
Nope.
Yeah.
And I wonder if a little bit, we've talked so much about how Dwayne does like to go downfield and how he's willing to take those one-on-one shots and the chances and 50-50 balls and all the things that we've yelled about Washington football team quarterbacks for the past couple of years. But maybe he's not looking for the easy 3-5 yards, or maybe he's not hitting the guys that he could have for those short.
Pete said this earlier, and I saw this on Twitter. Like, I know it exists. In no fashion do I think they should bench Dwayne, period.
Zero.
We all agree?
What does Dwayne need?
The work.
All the work.
And that
stands.
It stands through, Pete said it earlier in the pod, 8, 10, 12 games. I mean,
I need a sample size.
We're not even close to me, we're not even close to a point.
We are all at zero. All three of us at this table are at 0%.
Zero.
One quick point. If Ron Rivera is going to kick a field goal to make sure his offense gets 3 points so they feel better, he needs to let Dwayne play for the next 2 months. Like,
totally.
If you're playing the long game in that area, then you need to play with the quarterback who's not getting a lot of help.
In any corner at – what the hell do we call the park now? Washington Football Park? That is awful. They got to come up with something new.
Joe Gibbs Road Park.
You know what? I'm just going to say Redskins Park. At any corner –
I just say Ashburn.
The park.
Yeah. At any corner, in any corner of the park, is that percentage higher than zero?
Hmm. Yeah. The locker room stalls of Kyle Allen and Alex Smith.
Smith.
Right. Those that might be
that's
the only
other wild card in this scenario, dude.
We should ask, maybe we can get Alex Smith update and trying to ask it like just as a
there's
polite
no
thing
way,
this listen, week.
There's no way to get that
I
update
ask,
without creating a
yeah, I ask very vague. I ask like what I think are really harmless questions, and I get Belichicked.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure I'm going for an
Alex
Smith
update.
We need
like one of the random news outlets to just ask it who aren't there very much. Do a drive-by. Drop in drive-by.
I think the answer is zero across the building.
Same.
I really do.
They're 1-1 also. Like if they're 0-2, maybe it's timing. They're 1-1.
We did a segment on the pregame asking if last week was fool's gold. I don't believe last week was fool's gold, but I kind of think the Eagles suck.
Yes.
But I also – so, Pete, I think you said it on postgame.
Eagles got drilled today, right? And then they kind of came back and didn't.
Yeah.
I don't think Wentz is that good. They're built for Wentz to be really good.
Yeah.
They got injuries all over the place. I don't know.
I think Mitch is about to reference a point I made.
Pete said on postgame that this might be one of those things that you look back at the end of the season and you're like, oh, that Eagles win wasn't that good, which I agree might be true. But I also think you're going to look back at this Cardinals game and say – damn, the Cardinals are really good.
Yeah.
I think the Cardinals are going to win.
It's too early for that. Maybe the Cardinals are going to win the NFC West. I mean,
oh, well, I had no idea the Lakers were down when Davis hit that shot.
Yeah.
So that was a game winner.
It was.
Justifies the.
So if you're a Lakers
I didn't know why
fan
they were celebrating
to this
so much.
And you hadn't seen game two yet, they won.
Also thought it was game one. I'm clearly dialed in.
Huge yeah. NBA guy over there.
I think you're going to look back at the Cardinals game as the Cardinals team as a really damn good team.
They got weapons.
Kyler's probably
you don't have to worry about that offense.
Is Kyler the MVP through 2 weeks? Maybe Russ Wilson, who depending on how this game goes.
Cam Newton, Josh Allen. There's some dudes there's doing.
I don't
dudes
play
doing
the
some
MVP
stuff.
Game through 2 weeks. Personally.
Oh, good Pete.
Look at Pete just dunked on you, Mitch.
It's okay.
You gonna take that?
You know why? Because at the end of the season, Pete's just gonna be handing out awards to everybody to make them all feel good.
You are trying to give out a week two, and not only are you giving out a week two MVP
leader in the clubhouse,
but you
MVP.
Nominated. Someone that it's halftime of their game.
It's past halftime, and the guy has 250 and two touchdowns.
All right.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
This started with game balls, and we gave out one.
Yeah.
We got to some hat tips.
Is there any other positive mentions? All right, start with the goats, Pete. And we got a lot of new listeners. If you don't know, this is the old traditional meaning of goat, where if you mess up, you are the goat because you were like, it's like an old Cubs thing where the goat was the bad guy.
Yeah. Bad luck.
You were getting blamed. You're not being praised.
Right. Very much so. As you can tell by the 25 names we're about to rip off.
Troy Apke misses the month of August because in the month of August, he was hitting guys. And his poor tackling angles weren't really visible. And he was just lapping Sean Davis in the safety race. But in September, he gets flagged for poor technique. And Kyler Murray jukes by him twice for touchdowns, and he gets beaten coverage because he's staring in the backfield. And he's the number one example of Ashburn syndrome. It's the tests have come back on Troy Apke, Ashburn syndrome positive, and it's bad. And he gets a goat.
Were we all Ashburned last week?
Like just in general?
By the game?
Pete, in pregame, you mentioned 10-6.
Yeah. I certainly did.
Pete
did take over bullishness, but you're trying to all of a sudden undersell your bullishness.
I was absolutely bullish. I'm not backing off on that, but I didn't adjust to a double digit win season and 10-6 is a playoff spot.
We might have all been Ashburn. It's hard because we've gone from one game of data to two. And you're trying not to overreact.
Right.
And after one game, I was thinking the offense.
Great.
And there's only 14 more left, so right. We kind of have to overreact. So I was thinking.
Finite resource.
After one, okay, the offense motion, it can be better. After two, I'm like, man, this offense is in a lot of trouble. So that's why I made that
play. I think getting your Ashburn syndrome.
Well, Russ just got another TD.
I think getting your Ashburn syndrome results back is like COVID, where it's like delayed by 2 weeks. So like you don't really have the results as you're talking about it.
Now that, Mitch, sometimes you nail it. That was good.
Troy Apke, goat.
Offensive line.
All of them. Yep.
Across, well, fine. I'm giving a kick of the can to Chase Roullier, and the rest of them get a goat.
Yep.
It's ugly and needs to get fixed quick. Otherwise, things ain't going to get better on offense.
The Sadiq Charles clock has officially started.
He'd play.
Right. Sure, if he was ready to go, he'd be going.
Are we doing goats? I'm not happy with Ron, guys. And I know this is unpopular, but I'm not happy about this.
I'm not either. And you get him on Monday, maybe, for a one-on-one?
Normally, we don't get them coming back from a West Coast trip, so we'll see.
Okay. If you do, I'm sure you'll be covering this with him more, and he'll have a reasoning for it.
And maybe it's a can kick because they kept fighting, and I think the Cardinals are just way better, to Mitch's earlier point. I just don't think this team's that good. And maybe that's, like, to the front office, or maybe – I was texting with someone tonight. I was texting with Barcel Nate. And I'm like, man, maybe they just are happy to build this over time. And they know they're going to stink this year. And it's okay. Not okay, but like, this is the plan. So I don't know what I'm saying here. I don't have a specific goat, I suppose.
If that's the case, if they have,
they have a ton of cash, they didn't spend it.
If they've agreed internally that they're going to deal with this, then you need to give a tiny tip of the cap to the owner who's allowing it to happen.
Eesh.
That's what I'm saying. My point being that if they're all in agreement inside that this is the case, which I don't think we agree is.
That E is what you normally do at like 2:30 a.m.
I don't think you can have everybody in there agreeing that that's the case.
That's why this week one win might have just like. It wasn't the worst thing for anybody because we all loved it, but we got ahead of ourselves. And I will be the first one to admit it. But yeah, like you said, we knew this team was going to be bad, and then they won once, and I got all crazy in Cinder Fedexfield parking lot drinking a Bud Light thinking about, man, where are we going in February? Will COVID be done so we can go to the Super Bowl? Whatever.
I'm giving Ron a can kick.
I agree.
So who have we given goats to? Because we need to give the whole offensive line.
Yeah.
Troy
Apke.
I think every wideout not named
Terry McLaurin.
Because I'll just lump Sims' fumble in there.
Yeah.
The tight ends stink.
They
can't block.
The linebackers can't cover.
They're trying. I'll give them credit for trying. Logan Thomas is trying to block. He's just not good at it.
You know what?
He caught four passes on 9 targets.
We lauded this defensive line so
Marcus
much.
Marcus Ball had a catch
for like the first play of the game or second play of the game or something.
We gave so much credit to the D-line for the 8 sacks last week. Like, I don't know if
– It was a quiet 2 sacks today, boy.
It was a quiet day today.
Kyler ran for 67 and 2 scores.
What they needed to do was keep him in the pocket and not let him break container.
Now, some of that is just Kyler.
Sure.
That dude is good.
He is very – he's very quick. But they didn't do it, and – the starting center was out for the Cardinals, and I kind of thought that John Allen and Daron Payne were going to have a big role in today's game in pushing the pocket from the inside, and they didn't do a whole lot of it. Matt Ioannidis as well. I mean, think they get at least a
can. Did I just come out?
For a
second, but he came back in afterwards, so it was presumably nothing. But, you know, to Pete's point about, or Pete's question to John Allen about, you know, how excited you get about it, I'd be excited to ask John Allen what he thinks after today.
Yeah, and that question made one local media member pretty mad from what I heard.
I mean, what happened?
He's a bastion of journalistic integrity, so yeah. Let's go from there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy gets a can kick for sure.
Yeah. Sorry to upset him with my question.
We're not going to stoop.
I mean, we've kind of covered Jimmy Moreland had a rough day. Both Fitzgerald and Hopkins were taking advantage of him. I mean, he's a 5'9 guy.
Landon Collins, who I still think gets a.
He had the pick, but he was bad.
Otherwise, I mean, maybe
he
gets a kick of the can because he had a pick. But I mean, that pick.
Nobody on defense. Everybody on defense gets a can kick.
At least,
including Jack Del Rio, who we gave so much credit for last week for making the changes that he needed to make to make this team.
Maybe
better.
Not Chase. He's good, man. Like chasing down
two TFLs,
wide receiver screens
screen
on the backside.
Action. Yeah.
I don't know. They were bad all over the place.
I mean, the whole damn team gets it.
The whole team definitely gets it for the start. Three and out, touchdown for the second straight.
I think the whole team is a goat. Like,
Except for Terry. Yeah.
We said that so many times last year, by the way.
We're going to continue saying it because we just did it.
And because
who else on this team starts on another NFL team?
I mean, we can do that.
Team.
So I've kind of focused that on the offense because the defensive side of the ball is just so different. Like, because I think their front four, their top six on their front four start elsewhere.
Yeah, agreed.
Montez Sweat, though, very quiet. Kerrigan.
I don't.
How many snaps did he get?
I was thinking about that early. I don't know how often I saw 91 at all.
I don't know if I did either.
I mean, I saw him like three times, but I definitely didn't hear his name once. And that might have been because Dick Stockton was saying the wrong name constantly. But
didn't he say Redskins like 100 times?
Yeah. He got the quarters. And media bashing. I love all media members. I hope we all keep our jobs forever. He had a rough day.
I wish Pete the old cranky dude that thinks nobody's ever hard on this team would listen to the podcast right now.
Yeah, Pete and Dick Stockton in the same bowl right there. Media members.
I know. It's so
you
stupid.
You know what? That's a can kick.
We're here with a plate full of McDonald's and I'm in my sweatpants. I'm calling out Dick Stockton.
Let's do over-unders. Who's got them?
I got them.
Do you have the numbers too?
I know that. Oh, Haskins was a tight. We did 220, right?
Yeah, we did 220 pass yards for Haskins.
So the results are Mitch went over, you and I went under. So Mitch, what's that for JP and I?
Just take it easy with the buzzer, dude.
That was a hurt buzzer.
Kind of rough. The rushing, we said at 82.5.
I think it was 80.
It was 82.5, and they went way over.
Yeah, sorry. Normally I send an email because we were in the car that one day, and I had my phone. I didn't write it down. But, yes, the running backs got 109 yards together. I know the number was in the 80s. So
we hit that.
JP and I hit. Mitch went under.
We all went under on Kyler Murray, who went way over 45 rush yards.
Yep.
And the number I think was 31.
So we all went 1-2.
1-2.
No winner.
No winners. All right. No blood.
No blood. All right.
You got the chips?
The chips.
It was a rough day of my – a lot 100 of my chips went in the wrong direction.
100 chips brought to you by MGM National Harbor. We will be there Thursday night at Tapped, 6 p.m. We'll be sitting outside doing a really, really fun 100 chips and over-unders. It'll be interesting to do next week with Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham and that Browns rushing attack. Join us Thursday night, Tapped at MGM National Harbor, 6 p.m. All right, who's got the chips?
So JP was the winner of chips. He got the most chips back of his 100 chips. He got back 115 because he had 50 on Arizona's money line and 20 on Arizona -7. I took a big time L on the chips front because I had five on Arizona -7 as the only five chips that I got back. So Pete.
Yeah, because you didn't really know that we were
so
doing
the money line. You had 95 chips on the Washington?
I had 95 on Washington. I had 80 on Washington covering and 15 on Washington winning outright.
When you were talking about how you weren't that bullish earlier, I knew there was a number like that floating around.
I was extremely bullish, and I don't say that with any – I'm not ashamed of it.
Okay.
Pete got back 57.5 chips because he had 25 on the Arizona money line and 10 on Arizona minus 7. So the overall
season. How did he get that many back?
Because
it doubles?
Yeah.
You get your 25 back for the money line plus half of it.
So I think.
The season total chips are JP's got $185, Pete's got 132.5, and we'll just.
What is yours?
I got 106.
Now, I was going to say this.
Whose spreadsheet were you using? Was that?
Oh, yeah.
Mark?
Yeah.
Mark Perino.
Big shout out to Mark Perino who did all the legwork to make this thing
happen. And this is fun that we're doing this. It's kind of like a
competition.
Yeah. And the fact that Mark is hooking it up.
There's a tickler file that'll make this awesome if it comes through. That might be like an October thing at this point. But I will allow something. I enjoy the big lead, and I don't know how we – like – it's Arizona minus 7. So me getting the money line shouldn't pay 1-1.
No, it paid 0.5-1.
Oh, all right. So he took care of that already?
Yeah. He put that
still,
in there.
And I still had that big of a day?
Yeah. So you had 50 on Arizona money line. You got 75 back because you got your 50 original plus your 25 that you won. And we're doing 1-1 on the spreads because we're not doing minus 110.
Really brilliant system we got. All
right.
Mark is on top of it. Last week he gave us two and change to one for the Washington football team win over the Eagles this week. We're in good shape.
All right, Peter.
Let's move on to the next segment here, and it is brought to you by Dominion National. Why? Because Dominion National wants to know what makes you smile. So before we get this going, I want you guys to know that you can submit what makes you smile during the Washington football game to the hashtag makes you smile. So guys, we're clearly frowning right here. Mitch is...
not a lot of smiles going on.
Trying not to frown, and he's doing a good job. But because our friends at Dominion National want to know what made you smile in this otherwise disappointing desert effort.
What makes me smile is looking around the rest of the NFC East. The Washington football team house is super messy, and it's glass, and you don't mean to throw any rocks in it, but things ain't looking too good in Philly. Things definitely aren't looking good in New York. The Cowboys had a miraculous comeback, but kind of looked like trash for a lot of that game. If you got to pick something to make you smile, the rest of the division is an entire mess, and who the hell knows what's going to happen on here on out.
You don't have to be faster than the bear. You just got to be faster than the other people the bear is chasing.
Exactly.
There's
a big old grizzly bear.
It got a lot bigger after this game.
Yeah.
Can my answer be that Pete brought me a milkshake?
Definitely.
Sure.
Dominion National.
I mean,
it may not be good for your teeth.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have to go to Dominion National.
I don't know if the milkshake, the bourbon, the wine, the beer, or the water are good, are all great, but
it's a good combo.
I think that counts.
In that ball game, some semblance of a run game starting to emerge. I think that's a big problem. I don't know when we do fake or real later this week.
Oh, boy.
I'm not sure that any of that second half offensive surge was real.
Yeah.
Do you guys think it was?
I think we should wait to use it for later in the week, but I tend to agree with you.
Yeah.
I have one other. Go ahead, Pete.
Mitch has lots to smile about.
I have one other tiny smile. It's a small smile.
My persistent inability to bake potatoes?
Well, no, I wasn't going to go there.
This is a small one. But I'm just thinking back to this. This is kind of a random callback, but when Breshad Breeland had that pick six against the Chargers a couple years ago in that stupid soccer stadium late in the fourth quarter, blowout. He took it all the way back and jumped in the stands, and that whole team was celebrating. Idiotic moment. This year, Antonio Gibson's first career rushing touchdown. Big moment for him. Scores in the NFL. Team's getting kind of their asses kicked. He stands up, gives the ball to the ref, and goes back to the sideline. Minute detail. But it showed good awareness. I'm fixated on Antonio Gibson. I think he played a lot better today. Really good in between the tackles. So what made me smile was his maturity, recognition of the moment to not even spike the ball or show any excitement, even though it was a huge milestone.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
You should blog that.
Okay.
He actually,
especially if you can like find the video.
He actually took the football back to the – he handed it to the ref and then
got
Wen
it.
Got it for – and
that's what reasonable.
They normally, yeah, what they normally do is they put it packaged up.
They
write that gold marker.
No camera flexing, no jumping up in a lineman's arms, just, all right, ref, can I have that ball, please? Cool. Heading back to the sideline now.
I think that's a good one.
Two other tiny smiles I have are for Ron's challenge in the
very good challenge. Good call.
How long has it been since there have been Washington football team coaches that have messed up things as back to back timeouts and not, you know, all this different things? It's the adult in the room, and he's doing the things that you want head coaches to see. And the other tiny smile is JP plied me with steak and some damn good Brussels tonight. So that was a nice little surprise when we got over here to do the pod.
I belayed you.
You belayed me with it.
And one more time, Dominion National, providing high-value dental and vision benefits for individuals at teethkeepers.com. Enroll today and save.
That's a kind of baller URL they have, teethkeepers.com.
Yeah, they got there early. Good for them. And thank you to them.
I'll never forget that. I will know their website for the rest of my life.
I'm going to go to it right now as we finish up here.
I don't have a lot to say, I don't think.
Let's hope Cleveland's flying high and overlooks this football team.
High highs and low lows. It's life in the NFL. That game just sucked. Did you ever think there was a comeback coming?
No.
It's not really a comeback when it was 7-0, but the Collins pick kind of felt like, all right.
Sure.
They've got it out of their system. They're going to be okay.
Once it was 14.
Field. Yeah. No.
Was Kyler's second touchdown where he just kind of like jumped in front of Apke on the keeper on the right side? When I saw that, I was like, man, they're not stopping this dude. I don't know that many teams are.
But it was watching him dance around the D-line, the supposed strongest point of this team. He was basically moving around unfettered back there and making guys miss and not taking pressure. That was early on when you saw him doing all that with ease. It felt like this was going to be a super uphill battle.
Final point I'll make is the way Cliff Kingsbury just continued to throw the ball, even though the game was pretty much wrapped up, take shots downfield, kind of reality check for all of us who were.
I think the fourth downs
super high on the defense.
Yeah. The fourth downs were just total reality checks.
Yeah,
and there was a lack of, like, saying like a lack of respect, I feel like is fairly mundane, but like whatever we thought the reputation was, and maybe you can't really have a reputation after one game, but there was some national media that jumped on the 8 sacks and everything. Yeah. Like, whatever they saw in the film, they weren't worried about. Maybe some of that's having Kyler. A lot of that's probably having Kyler.
It wasn't so much it was that first fourth down that they went for where you had a tickle that, like, maybe it was like the Eagles last week. And then they went with a trick play.
Yeah, double reverse.
Kyler wasn't even under center. It was like, thumbing your nose across the – yeah, exactly.
How about the notion 2 years ago that, don't take Kyler. Stick with Josh Rosen. Mm. Woof.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't go that route.
This is twice that Dwayne's gotten beat by Kyler. Heisman and then this.
Sure. Kyle Allen, meanwhile, beat him at Texas A&M.
And then
– and beat him last year.
Scathed today.
Yeah.
Oh boy, it's gonna be a long week, dude. I don't know that I'm ready for the abyss again, and it's coming.
You think the abyss is coming?
Not necessarily the quarterback abyss, just the low points that come with bad weeks covering this franchise.
We'll see if it's different. Not being in the depressing locker room day after day might help.
I think it might get worse because these Zooms are gonna get kind of chippy.
Yeah.
You're
right. They've all been so fun.
What I think about is that. I think part of the abyss last year, and I don't mean to pick on Jay and
Hell, Bill Jay Callahan was gone. Whatever.
I know.
Three weeks from today, Jay was gone.
But both of them
are camped out.
We are right here.
Yeah.
Right. But Bill and Jay and they kept trying to pretend like they were putting a happy face on it and we're trying to win. And this is what we're going to do. I think we're going to get a much bigger dose of reality from Ron.
Totally.
And I think that might limit the depths of the abyss a little bit.
Well, and you're not going to have to try and explain of a long rebuild.
It. Yeah.
You know, like this is early in the process.
Right.
Versus way too far into the process. And I think Ron's already proven and has a track record that he's like an adult, real coach.
Right.
Let's go. I want to thank Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. If you're looking for a car, hit them up. You can lease them, you can buy them, they got used cars. Can finance it, all that stuff. They'll take care of you. OarsmanVA.com.
Join us on Thursday.
It's going to be a lot of fun. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.